All righty. Well, welcome again this morning. And, you know, it hurts not saying greet one another. You can say hi, wave to one another. Hi, everyone. Good to see you. And it truly is a true joy and blessing for us to be able to gather together here today and to worship the Lord as God's family. I love all of you and just so happy to see you. My friend James pointed out to me last week I had this big permagrin, you know, and I was just walking around smiling, you know, us gathering together, seeing everyone. It truly is such a great joy. And so just a couple announcements this morning. First of all, just want to remind everyone that, you know, to, you know, again, try to follow the guidelines, you know, to the best of your abilities. We're certainly seeking to do that here as a body. And, you know, just want to keep everyone safe. Also, just again, want to welcome anyone that is online with us today. And so we just want to welcome you in and so glad that you're here with us virtually. And it is a joy for us to be able to gather. Just want to remind everyone that we are receiving our tithes and offerings again this morning through the boxes. Maybe those of you that are in the parking lot listening to the message, there are also boxes out there, or trash cans, I should say, that you can come by and just throw not your trash, but your tithe in. And so we do appreciate that. Of course, online, many of you have been giving online. And we do want to just say thank you so much for those of you that have been very faithful through this whole shutdown to give, and it's truly a blessing. Also, want to remind us that we do have a Thursday night study that we're doing online. We're going through the book of Philippians. It's certainly a very rich book, and very timely in the times that we find ourselves living in as Paul there is ministering to the Philippians. And so, again, 7 o'clock Thursday nights, we are online. And so hopefully you're able to catch us on Facebook or on our church website. And we encourage you to join in. We encourage you guys to gather family together, maybe friends, those that are part of kind of your community, you know, and have a sweet time of worship and, you know, the word, and just bring that into our homes. You know, I think that there's a lot that can be readjusted during this time in our lives. And, you know, as we kind of go back to normal, as we move that way, you know, I would really want to encourage us as the church to really be asking God, do you just want me to go back to my normal schedule, what I normally would do? Or God, have you taught me some things during this time, and you want to do some new things in my heart and in my life? And so that is certainly a prayer of mine personally for me as I go back, even as a church, as we go back, all the things that we were doing before, is that still what you want us to do? It's always good to just, you know, re-examine and really seek the Lord on that. And so I want to encourage you guys, where's God's word in your life? Where's the time for God's word in your life? How's that look right now? And what do you think God wants for you, as we have so many opportunities to get into the Word of God? So I want to encourage you with that. Of course, we have at 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on Facebook. We do our live Devo, and we're going through the book of Ephesians right now. So that's, I know, been such a true blessing. And so, you know, also want to just remind us, those of us that are here in the courtyard this morning, want to remind us there are a lot of distractions, you know, being outside, you know, perfect key right there. You know, there are a lot of distractions, and so just do your best to stay focused, do your best to really, you know, keep your focus on the word, on the message. Of course, the enemy will use the smallest things to distract us from God's word. Well, we're going to pray, and we're in 1 Thessalonians this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 20. I titled the message this morning, "Know That You Are Not Alone." Know that you are not alone. That's what Paul wanted to remind the Thessalonians, and I think a very fitting word for us today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity you've given us to gather to worship today, to come, Lord. We pray right now for, Lord, the tithes and the offerings, God. We pray that you would bless, those, Father, that you would multiply the fish, the loaves amongst us today. God, we pray that for those that might be suffering right now financially because of this shutdown, we pray that you would sustain them. We pray that you would strengthen them, and we pray you would show us, Lord, your church, how we might minister to them in this time. We are truly a family, and we recognize that. And God, we are grateful for that. And so we just pray that no one would feel alone, would feel left out in any way, Lord, even as we're going to look at here in your word this morning. And so we just pray that you would bless, God, the study of your word, that you would open the scriptures to us as only you're able. And we just commit our hearts to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been quite a year, hasn't it? I mean, think about it. It's been certainly quite a year. 2020 will be a year that will never be forgotten, at least from us that lived it. And, you know, everything from this pandemic to, you know, a complete shutdown of the NBA. No, a complete shutdown, you know, to police brutality, to the brutality of police, to protests, to riots, to destruction of property, looting, crime. I mean, it looks like our world is going crazy. And it is. It is going crazy. And people today are looking for the answer. What is the answer for our world today? Of course, we need an answer. What will fix the problem? And truly, Jesus is the only one that has a solution for this problem. Listen, this isn't a new problem. It might be new to us, but it's not a new problem at all. Jesus indeed has the answer. I want you to think about that. You might think, well, that's pretty cliche. I mean, of course, we're in church this morning. Jesus is the answer, right? Jesus has the answer. But to think with me and to think about it, Jesus indeed is the answer. Listen, it starts in the heart of man. All of the things we're seeing right now going on in our society, we've seen this going on throughout world history. It's Jesus said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, what makes a man good is his heart, not outwardly. He says, what comes out of the heart is the evil and the corruption. It's in the heart. And if the heart can be changed, we can solve the problem. Jesus is indeed the only one that can change the heart. What people need today, what this world needs today, is they need to be born again. They need to be changed. What does our world need? It needs the love of God, without question. It needs the love that only Jesus Christ can bring. Our hearts need to be conquered. You say, but all of the differences will be dealt with through people being filled with the Holy Spirit, which the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, compassion, concern, care, gentleness, kindness towards one another, and our minds guided and dominated by the Word of God. People filled with the Holy Spirit and our minds dominated and guided by the Word of God. This is the answer to the problems that we indeed face. But you know what? Until then, until that happens, and ultimately, until Jesus returns, because ultimately, here's the reality, Jesus is going to deal with it. You know, Isaiah says that the government will be upon his shoulders. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, it's a verse we use at Christmas time, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of his increase, of his government, and peace. Listen to that. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I love that. Think about a government that is led by the wonderful counselor, by mighty God, by the everlasting Father, by the Prince of Peace. Now that's a government that I could vote for. That's a government that I could follow, especially when the one that leads this government is Jesus Christ, who is perfect in judgment and justice. Man, that's what our world needs. That's what we're longing for. It says there that of his government, again, I'm reading from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Verse 7 says, of his increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment, righteous judgment, and justice from that time forward evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Man, that's music to our ears. And this is what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to Jesus's immediate return. 1 Thessalonians has been breaking that out. Paul has been talking so much about the return of the Lord as we've been studying this incredible, incredible epistle. And of course, we haven't yet got into the depths because he kind of waits to the end of the book, the latter part of 4, really almost all of, or the first part of 5 chapters there, that he really dives into this idea of the rapture. But he's sprinkling this idea at the end of each chapter. We've seen references to the coming of the Lord. But, you know, until the Lord comes, you and I are in a battle. We need to remember that. We need to recognize that the world we live in isn't supposed to go well. It's not our home. Hey, find hope this morning, wherever you might be, whatever might be going on in your heart. Find hope today that this is not our home. The Bible says that we are but pilgrims passing through this land. And we're waiting for the Lord to come and establish his kingdom. It's the what is called the millennial reign of Christ. We hear the phrase millennials all the time. It's a new kind of millennial. It's the millennial reign of Christ, meaning simply that Jesus is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And he's going to reign, like it says here in Isaiah, he's going to reign in righteousness. But until then, you and I are in a battle. And that battle is a battle that God has called us to. There's warfare going on. There's problems. There's difficulties. There's struggles. There's suffering. There's hurt. There's heartache. There's division. And Jesus is the answer. And our battle is to bring the gospel. We've seen 1 Thessalonians, the book is about the gospel. And so our battle is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And this is our calling. But know this, we have an enemy. And he's seeking to divide. And Paul will say it straight out in our text this morning. He says, and Satan hindered us. A lot of times people underestimate the battle. A lot of times people underestimate Satan. Of course, God is God, Satan is not. God and Satan are not in a tug of war. That's important for us to understand. It's not like God's going to win, but barely at the end. No, God is the creator of all. He is sovereign, almighty God. He's eternal. Satan is not. Satan is a created being, a fallen angel. But don't underestimate the power of an angel. And don't underestimate the wickedness that Satan wields. And don't forget that he is the God of this world. And so you and I find ourselves today in a battle. And we're going to see here in our text this morning some real simple things to help us to fight this battle. Let me just say this, you're not alone. You and I aren't alone in this battle. You aren't the only one that might be going through stuff, that might be struggling, that might be suffering. And that's what Paul wants to remind the believers. Remember, he's separated from them. He's not able to be with them. He was actually separated in the very beginning from them because of persecution, because of suffering. And so in this section of Scripture here, we're going to see three things that Paul says you need to know. Let's jump into it here. Again, verses 14 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 14 through the end of the chapter. I'm going to start off by reading verse 13 as we looked at that yesterday, as we looked at that last Sunday. For this reason, verse 13, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. It's the only way a society is going to be changed, by welcoming, receiving the word and letting it have its eternal effect on our lives. Well, verse 14, and I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. That's kind of our first point this morning. Our first point is, know that you are not alone in your suffering. Again, our first point this morning, know that you are not alone in your suffering. Verses 14 through 16, he says, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Jews. So Paul making a comparison, he's identifying with them, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. They do not please God and are contrary to all men. The word contrary is the word hostile. They're hostile to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sin, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Paul here is encouraging the believers in their time of suffering, and he wants them to know that they're not alone in that suffering. You and I need to know that this morning. You need to know that you are not alone in your suffering. I think about one of the things this whole pandemic has brought. It has brought a commonality to all of us because we're all going through it. Whether you're a believer, whether you're an unbeliever, right? Whether you're, a Republican, a Democrat, whatever you might be. We're all going through it. Now, we might have different opinions about it and idea, but listen, we're all living it. It's all affecting our lives. There's none of us that are like, hey, it's not affecting me, I'm fine. In some way, and of course it's affecting all of us in different ways, but in some way it's affecting all of us. And it's not just America, it's the world. You know, some of the things that I've seen God do is gather together a lot of those that are scattered all over the world because we're all going through the same thing. For instance, you know, we host a Zoom meeting, not just with people in our fellowship locally here, but we host a Zoom meeting with all of our missionaries across the world. It's pretty amazing. As we gather together, everyone's going through it. Now, there's different levels of it, but they're all, I mean, like in all of these missionaries are part of a church, or most of them are pastoring a church, and their churches are shut down. They're doing online. They're in some third world country in some remote area where people don't even have phones, internet, to try to figure out how are we going to get the word of God to them. We're all wrestling. We're all identifying together, but we're all suffering, and we're all going through it. And this is what Paul wants them to know: you're not alone. You know, for those that are so isolated, like some of our missionaries are so isolated, it's great for them to know they're not alone. And I want you to know this morning, you're not alone. We are together in this. Together we are seeking and serving the Lord. Together we are suffering. Paul says, verse 14, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus." Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about all of the churches that are in the region around Jerusalem. Now remember, these guys are in Thessalonica. They're in Europe. They're on the continent of Greece. They've never been to Judea. They've never been to a Jewish church. They're Gentiles. And so there is this, and in their culture, like in ours, we're seeing right now, there is a racial divide that's going on. But Paul here is saying, listen, we're one body. And by the way, on the issue of the racial divide, Jesus Christ is the answer. I mean, it's clear. This, when Jesus came into the first century, there was a massive, way more massive than our racial divide going on. And Jesus came and he solved the problem through the peace of the cross. You know, we've been going through the book of Ephesians in our devotions online. That's exactly what he talks about. The whole second half of chapter 2 is he deals with that issue and deals with it over and over and over throughout all the epistles. And here again, he's saying, listen, you guys don't know this, but you're not alone in your suffering. You know, sometimes when we suffer, we feel like we're the only ones. We feel like everything's against me. We might go on, you know, some social media platform and we look and go like, well, everyone else is doing fine. Of course, they're not posting all the stuff that they're struggling with. That's the point of social media. Look at my life. Look how blessed I am. Look how great things are going. You know, I just yelled at my wife. We're usually not posting that, you know. We might post, I lost my job, pray for me, but, that's not reality. And Paul wants the believers to know, listen, you're not the first, you won't be the last, and you're not alone in your suffering. The churches of Judea, the Jerusalem churches, which, by the way, the word churches here in plural just speaks about how the once church in Jerusalem multiplied into churches, which I think is pretty cool. He says there, "For you also suffer the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Jews." And then he kind of just goes on a little tangent. He just a little, you know how we are, you know, something that kind of irks us. And he just wants to say, verse 15, who, by the way, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. I mean, he just kind of throws that out there. He brings up the churches, of Judea and how they suffer from the Jews and how it was the Jews that killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. Remember, Paul's a Jew, okay? Paul's a Jew. It's like, you know, when an African American right now in our culture stands up and says, wait a second, hold on. Let's get real and starts talking some common sense about something. That's what Paul's doing. He's a Jew saying, hey, listen, this is what's going on and has gone on in the Jewish community. They've been persecuting us, Jews, that have come to receive Jesus Christ. But let's go back. Remember the prophets of old they persecuted. And remember that the Lord Jesus himself they killed. So you're not alone. In fact, it's not even as bad where you are as it's been where we are. And you know, that's always a great perspective, to be honest, to glean. He says, they do not please God, and they are contrary or hostile to all men. They forbid us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as to fill up the measure of their sin. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Listen, God is going to work out who's right and wrong. It's really not my job or your job to do that. And I know we get, into our political, debates or just our views, whether it's political or not. It's our views on whatever is going on. And we go back and forth, with our views and stuff. And, you know, listen, I've got views, you've got views. But, you know, the only view that matters is Jesus' view. You realize that? Because he's the judge. You realize you're not the judge, right? They're not going to stand before you. They're going to stand before him. I'll let him deal with it. You know, he's a perfect judge. His judgment is perfect. And that is indeed what people are longing for today in the day and age that we live. You know, I'm reminded here when it says there that in verse 14, for you also suffer the same things from your own countrymen. It's good for me, it's good for you to know that you're not alone. Peter writes it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verses 8 and 9. He says, be sober, and this is a word for us right now, be vigilant because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. This will become very clear in our next point this morning. But then he says this, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Peter wanted the believers to know they weren't alone in their suffering. He wanted them to know that the same things are going on in other places that they couldn't see, that they didn't know. Church, don't be discouraged, but can I really encourage us to put our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ? To not put our eyes on this world, not put our eyes on what's going on socially, economically, politically, but put our eyes, and you know, we're involved. I mean, you can't escape it. I'm not saying bury your head in the sand. We need to do our very best to shine as lights in the midst of darkness right now, to be a voice of truth and reason and all that. But just remember this, don't let it get you down. Don't let it drag you down. Don't let it discourage you. Put your eyes on Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's coming again. And we, as the people of God, need to rise up and recognize, you know what? We are indeed pilgrims. And so, hey, you're suffering. You're going through this. So is that guy. Hey, do we need to go back through church history? That's what Paul does. He goes back through Jewish history. What about us going through church history? I mean, if you think you're really suffering right now, you might want to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It will change your opinion really fast. It's a book on all of the persecutions that have happened. Well, some of the persecutions that have happened throughout the church. It's crazy. I mean, you read that book and you're just like, God, forgive me. I'm so selfish, so weak, so shallow. That's what happens to me. You know, I was just reminding myself of what the Fox's Book of Martyrs says about when our country was founded during the days of the colonies. And there was a group called Quakers. The Quakers were radically, radically persecuted and killed. In fact, if a Quaker was found sharing their doctrine, they would be taken. If you were a man, you would have your ear cut off. That was the rule. That's what the government of America, of pre-America, said. And if he was found again, he'd have his other ear cut off. And if he was found a third time, they would cut out his tongue. That's crazy. Now the women, if a woman Quaker was found, she would be whipped. And if she was found a second time, she'd be whipped again. And if a third time, they'd cut her tongue out. This is what the government did to those that were Quakers. You realize the Quakers is today the denomination of the Friends Churches, your Belinda Friends, Rose Drive Friends, right? The Friends Churches. People have suffered greatly. People have gone through great hardships. And you and I were not alone. But the great thing and the great truth is that God is going to judge rightly. The end of verse 16 makes that abundantly, abundantly clear. Well, the second point this morning is from verses 17 through 18, which is know that you're not alone in your battling. Okay, if the first thing that we saw this morning was know that you're not alone in your suffering, know that you're not alone in your battling. Listen to what Paul says, verse 17 and 18. He says, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we want to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. And there's that phrase, but Satan hindered us. Think about that. Paul here is saying, but we, brethren, myself, Silas, Timothy, those that established the church in Thessalonica, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. So this is our heart. And for those of us that have been separated right now from loved ones, I mean, it's been a tough time. Some worse than others. Some grandkids haven't seen their grandparents. Grandparents haven't seen their grandkids. Families haven't been able to get together. Of course, you know, Easter came and went, and we weren't able to celebrate that together. 25-year anniversary of our church, we weren't able to celebrate that together. You know, it isn't a matter of we don't want to, but it's just suffering. Some have lost people. People that are dying in hospitals, you know, loved ones aren't able to be at their side. I mean, my wife, she had a minor surgery on her foot, and I couldn't even come. You know, you just drop her off in the parking lot, and she goes in the hospital, and they text you, you know, to let you know how the surgery's going. You know, it's a weird time. It's a time of separation. You know, all this phrase social distancing. Man, I pray that word goes down and burns. You know, I mean, it's just like, that ain't biblical, by the way. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, social distance as we are right now. I'm just saying, you know, it's hard. And it's taking a toll. And I believe that, you know, the unrest right now in our country is, you know, a part of that just kind of isolation. I mean, people are just boiling over. And, you know, what's social distancing happening right now? You know, people are protesting. I'm like, hey, you can protest. We can have church. You know, it's like, I mean, they're just gathering together. I mean, they're squeezed in. You know, people are suffering. People are separated. That's where Paul was. And it hurt. Listen, it hurt the Apostle Paul to be distanced from the believers. It broke his heart. He was struggling. I mean, look what he says in chapter 3. He says, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, he's talking about this social distancing, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother, our minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that none of you should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. That's a powerful word. For in fact, we told you when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and as you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, this separation, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now Timothy has come to us from you. So Paul sent Timothy to check up on the believers. Of course, he couldn't go. Why? Because, well, he was kicked out of Thessalonica. He fled for his life. He couldn't go back at this time. He says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have a good remembrance of us, notice this phrase, because it's very similar to what's in our text. Greatly desiring to see us as well as we also to see you. There was a mutual desire to be together by the Thessalonian believers and the Apostle Paul. But they were separated. And it brought great pain. And it brought great pain. And the reason they were separated is because they were in a battle for souls. And I want us to remember this, because our point here is that we're not alone in your battling. All of us are battling different ways, and we're battling, and we're not alone. It's not God's heart to keep us alone. Now, what was Paul's concern? Paul's concern was, how are they doing in their faith? That, I want to be honest with you, has been my concern through this time. How are you doing in your faith? And of course, we've been dialoguing via, you know, phone calls and texting and Zoom meetings. But what about those that we haven't talked to? What about those that maybe have just kind of slipped away? How are they doing? You see, we need to be praying. We need to be reaching out. And don't just because we have church in the courtyard think like everything's back to normal. We need to, I would say, renew our outreach right now to people. Check in on them. Check in on them. See how they're doing. Don't stop, guys. You know, I know we're tired of all this. Like, let's just come together. Well, some of them can't. And Paul had this longing desire to see them and to see their faces. When Paul left the Ephesian believers and he left the elders there, he said the same thing. He said, listen, I don't think I'm going to see your face anymore. And at the end of that conversation, it's recorded for us in Acts chapter 20 in verses 37 and 38. It says, then they all wept freely and fell on his neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. I mean, there was this weeping. Again, that's Acts 20, verses 37 and 38. After a conversation he has, they're brokenhearted. They're sorrowing most of all that they are not going to see his face anymore. When Paul was separated from the Philippian church because he was in prison for the gospel and they were in Philippi, he wrote this in chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 7 and 8. He says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Now that's what he says here to the Thessalonians. Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. He says, for God is my witness. Listen to what he says. How greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. I love that phrase. The affection of Jesus Christ. He goes on to the Philippian believers in chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I love you, and I long to be with you. With the affection of Christ Jesus, we have a longing to be together. And you know, during this time, I'm asking myself, do I have that kind of a longing? Do you have that kind of a longing to be together like that? Think about it. It's a powerful thought. Because maybe some of us are like, hey, take it or leave it. But that's not a biblical view of the body of Christ. That's not God's plan for us when it comes to a right relationship with one another. But Paul here, speaking of this battle, simply says at the end of verse 18, he says, but Satan hinders us. Satan's hindering. I wanted to be with you, but we're in a battle. Let us not forget that. Let us not forget that we are in a spiritual, unseen battle. One of Satan's greatest schemes against us is to make us think that we're not in a battle. You realize that, right? Well, it's just what's happening. Listen, you are in a spiritual battle, and it's a battle for souls, and we as God's children are engaged in his kingdom, and we are called to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. Paul tells Timothy this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He says, you therefore must endure hardship. There's that trial, that suffering. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he might please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Do I see myself as a soldier in God's army, in God's kingdom? I want you to think about that this morning. And there's a great message that was once given at our church by a good friend of mine, and I'll never forget it. And the title was, A Soldier or Civilian? Are you a soldier? Do you live like a soldier or do you live and act like a civilian? Anyone that's ever been in the military knows this. And by the way, this idea of seeing one another and being with one another and caring for one another, it's such a part of a soldier, especially those that are battling together. There's one thing of a fellow Marine comes to another Marine. They don't really know each other. They meet and they've got, something deeply in common, that they're both Marines and they got their own language and the whole thing. But two Marines that have battled together in war together are a whole nother level of brothers. Listen, got your back. I not only will, but at times I sacrificed and risked my life. Of course, they're still both alive if they're talking together, but we're willing to lay down our lives, and we've proved it on the battlefield together. And that's exactly the picture of the believers. That's what the Apostle Paul says that we are to be. We are to be soldiers engaged in a warfare, understanding the battle that's in front of us. A lot of us aren't even fighting the battle, but we're fighting against the other soldiers in the battle. Of course we're not winning, and Satan is hindering. Make no mistake about it, Satan is real, and he's on the move, and he's able to hinder. Don't let him hinder. Paul says to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." We're not ignorant. Paul, of course, says, speaking of the armor of God, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles," that is the word schemes, "of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." But listen, here's your battle. He says, "But we wrestle against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." This is our battle. This is where we're wrestling. Let us remember that, and let us be engaged. Let us be on the alert, and let us not be ignorant of his devices. Let us recognize them and go, no, I'm not falling into his trap. We are in a battle, and we've got armament that God has given to us, and we need to put on that whole armor of God. Well, verses 19 and 20 simply says this, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? It is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. For you are our glory and our joy." The third thing we need to know is, no, you're not alone, because he is coming. Know that you're not alone, because he is coming. You know, those that were literally in isolation and solitude and persecution, they had no one around them. They knew they were not alone, because Jesus is coming for his church. Paul says, what is our hope? What is our joy? What is the crown of our rejoicing? And notice, it's people. It's you in the presence of the Lord. It is coming. You are our glory and our joy. Because Paul lived his life knowing Jesus is coming back shortly. And therefore, he poured his life into those around him. He poured his heart into others. He shared the gospel, and because of it, he was suffering. Because of it, he was persecuted. And so you and I, as we know the Lord is coming, we know we're not alone, let us not waste our life. That's the whole purpose of the hope of the rapture, of his immediate return. What are you doing with your life right now? What have you been doing during this shutdown? What have you been investing into? The Lord is coming. Let us live for his glory. Paul says, listen, what the glory is, what the joy is, what the crown of rejoicing is, it's you. It's fruit. Of course, Paul says in the Philippian letter there, he says, "For me to live is Christ." Philippians 1:21, right? "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, man, if I'm going to live, it's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. He goes on in Philippians 2 to say this, in Philippians 2, verses 15 and 16, he says, "That you might become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, He says, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I might rejoice in the day of Christ Jesus, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. This is a recurring theme throughout Paul's letters. I'm pouring out my life, he goes on in the next verse there in Philippians 2 to say that I'm pouring out my life as a drink offering. And I'm thankful that on that day I'm not going to go, well, that was a waste of time. Why? Because the people that I shared with, the people that I love, the people that I invested into are going to be my crown on that day. They're going to be my glory on that day. Because God's going to bring fruit in my life. Let me ask you, who have you influenced, impacted for God's kingdom and for God's glory? Think about that right now in our lives. And if you say, well, not many people. Well, hey, today's another day. Tomorrow's another day until Jesus comes. Don't waste your life. Invest. Pour out your life and do it in light of the immediate return of Jesus Christ. I want to close with a verse that Paul writes at the end of his life. It's the very end of Paul's life. Some of the last, literally last words he ever penned. He says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, what a great word, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all, listen, to all who love his appearing. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Church, world, are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know the Lord? Are you confident right now? Listen, rapture happens. I'm going and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm excited. It's an evidence of knowing the Lord. I'm excited. I'm ready to go home. Or maybe some of us, and certainly we have loved ones and friends, when we think of the rapture, we're not so excited because we know they're not going. Is that you today? Are you in that category? Today is a day of salvation. And today I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Simple, humble yourself, confess your sins, and ask Jesus Christ to come and take over your life, to save you from your sins. He came, he died for that very purpose. Today is a day of salvation. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to live through the rest of the day. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if the Lord's going to come. And if he comes, let me tell you, the stuff you've seen in the world so far is nothing compared to what's going to come. Go read Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 19, and you're going to find out what's going to happen when the church is taken out. The world is going to implode because there's going to be no Holy Spirit working through the church anymore. And you and I, as the church, are that light. We want to invite you, if you're not a part of God's kingdom, a child of God, to become his child. Jesus says, listen, if you want to enter heaven, you must be born again. You must be born again. Today is the day to be born again. And so right now, we're just going to close in prayer. Worship team's going to come and join me. And I'm going to lead those that would like to receive Jesus Christ in a prayer. I'm just going to pray slow. If you're maybe watching our service today online, we want to invite you to pray this prayer. We invite you to reach out to us. We love you. We're here for you. We've got a Bible for you. We'd love to be able to disciple you. If you're here this morning and that's where you are, please come talk to me, one of our pastors, before you leave today. Maybe the person sitting next to you. There's a lot of great Christians around you, a lot of people that love God, know his word, and would really love to have the opportunity to love you. And so let's pray. And Father, we just ask right now that you, through your Holy Spirit, would open up hearts, and that people, Father,
young and old, would hear the call to salvation and would be redeemed, saved, transformed. And right now, if you're in that place, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that you are God and that you are the only Savior. And I ask by your mercy that you would come into my life and change me from the inside out. I humble myself today. And I confess I can't do it without you. And so change me, please. Save me. Give me the power of your Spirit to do what I need to do. And open your word to me as only you're able. And place me into the body of Christ. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.